Good morning again, everyone. Delighted to have you with us. We're going to get right into God's Word. We got a lot of ground to cover here this morning. First thing we want to do is make sure everyone has a Bible. If you need a Bible, slip your hand up, and the ushers will put a Bible in your hand. You're welcome to keep it. Second Peter chapter 2. Got some heavy-duty stuff here this morning. Fasten your seatbelts. We go through God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, the whole book. From Genesis 1:1 till we hit the maps in the back, and then we turn around and go through it again. We don't pick and choose what we think people need to hear. We cover it all. The Bible says of itself, it gives us all that pertains to life and to godliness. It tells us how to live a godly life and how to avoid living an ungodly life. That's so important. If you really want to be blessed, if you really want to enjoy all that God has for you, we need to get right with Him and we need to obey His Word and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, when you teach God's Word, oftentimes I get hate mail. I'm just delivering God's mail. And I get hate mail, so if there's any hate mail, it's going to him, it's not going to me. I think it's so important we realize and recognize that this is his word. And sometimes he hits some heavy-duty stuff. And this morning, Peter is going to expose wolves. Wolves in sheep's clothing. That's where the title came from, fleece or fur. Do you know the difference between fleece or fur? Hello? Grandma, what big eyes you have. I think it's important that we recognize who the wolves are. And you know what? You will never hear the wolves teach this section of Scripture. Never. Because it's all about ungodliness. It's all about prosperity and feeling good about yourself and fleecing the flock rather than feeding the flock. I almost entitled the message this morning, Peter and the Wolf. But I thought fleece or fur would be better here this morning for us. We've opened our Bibles. Let's open our hearts this morning. Father, this is your word. Your word is truth. And oh, how we need truth today in a world that's filled with fake news and lies. And we know that Satan is the father of the lie. And I pray in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit this morning that you would teach us, that you would give us wisdom, knowledge, insight, that you would give us spiritual discernment and how to know the truth. And the best way to know the truth is to spend time in your word. Jesus, you said, my word is truth. Every word of the Lord is pure. Every cross T, every dotted I in this incredible book, every yacht, every tittle, as our friends upstairs would say, is God-breathed. It's given by the inspiration of God. And so this morning, Lord, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive, what your word has for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so verse 1 is actually a continuation of what we saw in chapter 1 last week, or 2 weeks ago. Peter's second epistle to the church is a powerful one. So let's back up into chapter 1 to verse 16 and see how it continues right through for what we have here this morning. And watch how it flows right into the first section. And this is what the word of the Lord says. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain, which of course we know as the Mount of Transfiguration. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Here we go. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord, who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways. That breaks my heart. Because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Wow. Like I said, fasten your seatbelts. Peter goes from the true prophetic word, confirmed by God the Father from heaven on the holy mountain, which we do well to heed. That's so important. It's one thing to read the word of God. It's another thing to heed the word of God. We need to walk in obedience to his word. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture, Peter writes, is of any private interpretation. And how often we see and hear on TV, oh, the Lord spoke to me and told me. And well, he hadn't spoken to me yet on that heresy that you just proclaimed. It never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God. They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so Peter now goes from the Spirit-led true prophets to the false prophets and false teachers who have crept into the church. With what? With destructive heresies. Even denying the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in depth in a moment. These are the fakes. These are the phonies. The knockoffs, if you would. Modern terminology. These are wolves in sheep's clothing. Do you know? Do you really know the difference between fleece and fur? That is so important today because of the deception that has crept into the church. And a lot of it is not necessarily what they're saying in some ways, but oftentimes what they're not saying. They talk about health and wealth and prosperity, but yet how do you get there? There's only one way. That's to repent of your sins. Get right with God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be born again. But a lot of these guys are preaching messages to the public out there how to feel good about yourself. Right out of Houston. You know, the day I felt the best about myself is the day I repented of my sins, got on my face, begged Jesus Christ to save my soul. He came into my heart and my life has never been the same. And it's not based upon feelings. It's based upon faith. He's completely forgiven me for all of my sins and cleansed me from all unrighteousness. And the Bible says he remembers my sins no more. Isn't that incredible? That he remembers our sins no more. That's so important, folks. We need to know the difference between fleece and fur. That's why you need to spend time in Scripture. And if you watch these guys on TV, make sure you get the book open. Paul was very much concerned as he exhorted the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verses 25 to 31. You know what he said? Let me read it to you real quick. Should have had my rib in there. Notice what he says. And indeed, now I know that you all among who I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, meaning he gave them the truth of God's word, innocent of the blood of all men. Notice, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. That should be the heart's desire of every pastor when they enter into the kingdom of God, that they can stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I preach the whole counsel of your word. Look at this. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers the shepherd, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Here's the key. For I know this, that after my departure, Paul says, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Savage wolves are in churches all over the world, not sparing the flock. Oh, they come in with their Bibles and they come in with, looking good, speaking Christianese and the whole thing there. But you know what? We need to discern the difference between fleece and fur. And so here we are this morning. And Peter says in verse 2, many will follow their destructive ways, of whom the way of the truth will be blasphemed. When people tamper with God's word, when they mess with God's word and they water it down, when they take away from it, you are blaspheming the word of God. Today, just to name a few, we have liberal Protestants. We have liberal Methodists. I got news for you. When those denominations were established, they were on fire by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they taught the word of God. As a matter of fact, the logo for the Mexicans, for the Methodists, is a flame. The Wesleys, John and Charles Wesleys, preached the truth with fire. But yet the fire has gone out because they have a split that happened. And now they have the liberal side. There's also what is known as Unitarianism. Universalists. Of course, you're all familiar with the Jehovah's Witnesses. False prophet Charles Taz Russell. Mormonism, false prophet Joseph Smith. Why? Because when you take your book and put it beside this book, you're in big trouble. Because all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And you have to be very, very careful. Christian Science. And there are many, many others. And again, I don't have time to name them all. I Googled it the other day just to find out who the false teachers and false religions are. And man, I don't have time this morning to name them all. But we need discernment. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is spiritual discernment so that you and I know the truth. Why are they false teachers and false prophets? I'll list some things that you can check on. They deny the inspiration of the Holy Bible. Yeah, they don't think that every word in this book is given by the inspiration of God. The day that I don't believe that, you won't see me in this pulpit. I believe with all of my heart, my soul, my strength that every word in this incredible book is given by the inspiration of God. And it transforms lives. They deny the Trinity. What a joke. Do you know the Trinity is found in the first verse of the Bible? Really, Pastor Joe? Yeah. In the beginning, God. And if you Google God, or not Google, but if you do the original Hebrew on the word God, it's Elohim, which is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, right in the first verse of the Bible. Genesis. And then it says, let us make man in our image. Hello. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And we have many, many places in Scripture that show us exactly who Jesus Christ is. They deny the virgin birth. How sad. Mary went through a lot of persecution because they, around Bethlehem and throughout the area, said that she had given birth to Christ illegitimately, that Joseph was the father. But if you read the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, it says that Joseph was the husband of Mary. It does not say that Joseph was the father of Jesus. They deny his atoning death. They deny his shed blood. They deny his bodily resurrection. They deny eternal punishment, and they never preach on hell. You have two choices, folks. Everybody gets eternal life. You know that, don't you? Smoking or non-smoking. Hell or heaven, it's your choice. They deny salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's just part of the list that you can use discernment with to see where they're coming from. Romans 1:22 says that they profess to be wise, but they have become fools. You know what the beginning of wisdom is, according to Proverbs? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. I got news for you. Anybody that teaches the word of God needs to fear As Scripture tells us, not many should preach the word of God because they will receive stricter judgment. That puts fear in my heart. So oftentimes before a service, and I've been doing this quite a while, people say, how you doing today? Man, I got butterflies and I'm nervous. Really, after all these years? Yes. Because there's a tremendous responsibility when I'm representing Jesus Christ in his word here this morning. And I don't take it lightly. Romans 1:25 says that they exchanged the truth for a lie. My prayer is, you know, me and my sick sense of humor, we often say, liar, liar, pants on fire. Wouldn't it be cool if liar's pants caught on fire? Oh, that would be so cool. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, how much is all? Is given by the inspiration of God. That means God breathed. It's profitable for doctrine, what is right, for reproof, what is not right, for correction, how to get right, and for righteousness, how to stay right, that the man or woman of God can be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Would you say that's important? It is. That's why the preaching and the teaching of God's word, every cross T, every dot and I, is so important today. We need it all. 2 Timothy 4:2, where Paul's discipling this young pastor by the name of Timothy. What did he tell him? Preach the word. Very simply, preach the word. The word. Be ready in and out of season, he said. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. He says, and I think we're there with what he says next. You know, years ago, 20, 30, 35, 40 years ago when I was teaching the word, everything seemed future. But now, when I share the word of God, we're there. We are there. He says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, because they have itching ears, and they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. People are looking more for entertainment today. How sad. Itching ears. It's almost like when your dog's laying on its back and you scratch him in that one spot and it goes, oh, thank you. Sheep do the same thing. Oh, itching ears. How sad. Remember 2 Peter 1:16? We do not follow cunningly devised fables. A fable is a tale or fiction or a myth. Every story that we have here, everything that we have in God's word. Wednesday night I taught about David and Goliath. That's not a myth or a fable. That's a true account of a young boy who had more faith than the whole Israeli army. And he took on this giant because his faith was in God. Verse 3 again, notice. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle and their destruction does not slumber. Wow. Covetousness. In the first church, in the early church, they said, anyone that begged for money, get out of there. They're a false prophet. You're supposed to feed the flock, not fleece the flock of God. To them, today, these flock fleecers, prophet for them is spelled P-R-O-F-I-T instead of P-R-O-P-H-E-T. They're greedy. They're covetous. Ministry to them is to build a large following with a large cash flow to take care of my jets. Condemnation, he says, judgment and damnation awaits them. Peter tells it like it is. I love Peter, my brother Peter, because he lays it all out there. I don't need my ears tickled. I need to hear the truth. I'll tell you what, there's some things that checked me up this week. And they check me up every week when I have to study to deliver the mail to you. And God knows I need to hear it three times. When I prepare, when I preach, and then after the service, I go over it in my mind. You guys only need to hear it once, but I got to hear it three times so I can get it. Their destruction is wide awake, ready to pounce on them. That's what it means in the original language. God's going to take care of the situation. And Peter now compares the doom of false teachers and false prophets to the judgment that came upon the angels, that came upon the world in Noah's day, and also Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at verse 4. For God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. You know the crazy thing about that? Eight people were saved out of 5 billion. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Man, can you relate to Lot? Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. First group that Peter deals with, again, right out of Scripture. You can read it for yourself. Isaiah chapter 14 talks about Satan falling from grace, taking one-third of the heavenly host with him. And so Peter talks about the fallen angels. Peter must have read his Bible, for Pete's sake. Isaiah 14 tells us about the fall of Lucifer. Why did he fall? Because of his pride. I shall be like the high. I shall ascend to heaven. I. Sounds like Salita Lindo. I. He took one-third of the angels with him. Some of these angels are confined to hell right now in chains of darkness, while Satan and his army of demons right now are running to and fro throughout the earth. Spiritual warfare. Anybody in the room experiencing spiritual warfare lately? Like I've never felt before. It's amazing. Lately, with the text I've had to preach, the enemy is coming at me from all different directions. It almost makes me sick physically with what I have to deal with in delivering the mail, and the enemy doesn't want the people to hear this. Man. Satan and his army are alive and well. God judges rebellion. Satan rebelled, one-third rebelled, and God judged them. It says God will not spare the angels who rebelled. God will not spare men who rebel either, who are deceived. And if God did not spare the angels, neither will he spare false teachers and false prophets, is what Peter is saying here too. Big trouble, big trouble. Peter's second example of God's judgment. The days of Noah. Whoa, look what it says, verse 5. It did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Again, Noah is not a fairy tale character. Noah was a real man. Noah preached righteousness. And here we read of God's righteous judgment in the days of Noah. For 120 years he preached righteousness. Imagine that. Over and over and over. They thought he was a wacko. Here's a guy building an ark, and it's never rained on the earth before. But you know what? Sometimes God asks you and I to do things that just totally seem out of, like we're out of our minds. But you know what? God will always fulfill his promise, every single case, when he tells us to do something. Genesis 6:5 tells us that the wickedness was great, so great that every imagination of their thought and hearts was evil continually. We are headed in that direction. Look at what people are thinking today. Look what's in people's hearts today. Genesis 6:11, the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. Here's a sad one. I couldn't believe the first time I ever read this in Genesis 6:6. It says that the Lord was sorry that he made man. Noah was a preacher of righteousness in the midst of all of this. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Noah? 120 years. And all of the experts there laughed and mocked at him. He's building a boat. This guy's out of his mind. It's never rained before. Until all of a sudden, the Bible tells us it began to rain. And only Noah and his family believed God and were saved. God judged those who rejected his truth. And that's the same thing today. God is going to judge those that reject the truth of God's word. That's why it's so important to teach every chapter, every verse, every cross T, every dotted I, because it's the truth that sets us free. We don't know what it's going to take for people's lives to be transformed, for people to be born again. I don't know. I just deliver the mail. And it's been amazing over the years. I've seen people get saved in a tithing message. I'm going, what? Yeah, you never know. I don't know where people are at. I don't know who's saved, not saved. God just says, you go ahead and just be faithful to deliver the mail. And so that's it. It's the word of God that totally transformed my life 40 years ago. And so Noah preached the word. And what did they do? They rejected the truth. Peter's third example of righteous judgment. This is a heavy one. Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. Are we taking heed of that example in America today? What was going on in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, I'm going to tell you. The record of God's righteous judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah is found in Genesis chapters 18 and 19. And it's heavy-duty stuff. But again, like I said, I'm just delivering the mail. And when we see the truth, it's the truth that sets us free. And how sad it is today, we are trying to call good evil and evil good with what God's word says is sinful. These practices. Peter never refers to their behavior as ungodly. Peter refers to their behavior as ungodly. Ungodly means without God, without godly principles. Jude tells us that they were given to fornication in going after strange flesh, perverted sexual behavior. Verse 7 tells us it's filthy conduct. Again, this is God's word. This is what God says. Romans 1, 24 to 27 tells us that it is contrary to nature. It is unnatural for a man to lay with a man and a woman to lay with a woman. And again, I'm going to catch some heat on this one, but I'm just delivering God's mail because God wants you to be set free if you're involved in sexual perversion. He can set you free. The flagrant sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was unnatural sex, sodomy, homosexuality, a sin that is clearly condemned in Scripture. And I'm not being mean. I'm not being judgmental. I am not hammering those that live these type of lifestyles. I have a broken heart for them, and it's my heart's desire that they would be set free and that they would be able to go to heaven and join us in heaven with the Lord. Let me read to you quickly. You can turn there if you choose. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? I repeat, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, Paul says. Neither fornicators, that's those that have sex outside of holy matrimony, marriage, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor transgenders, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that's what God says very clearly. And let me just share with you what it says in the very next verse. We have to be very careful when we judge and when we condemn others because of their behavior, because of their lifestyles. Listen to this. As such were some of you. Many of us did the same things. Drunkenness, drug abuse, whatever it might be. Porneia, pornography, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, all this stuff. Such were some of you. So we have to be very careful not to point the finger at someone, because when you do, three point back: the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just remember where you came from. Don't live where you came from, but just don't forget what God has pulled you out of. And when we confront someone, we have to go and come alongside someone and pray for them to help them. We should have broken hearts for them so that they would be set free. Back to Peter. And again, you know, false teachers today and liberal clergy are becoming increasingly outspoken in favor of sexual perversion. Look what's going on. And again, I'm not going to name names, but when we were in Vermont, we were in an area that was the first denomination to appoint homosexual pastors. And that's what I dealt with. The very next church on one side, the church on the other side. And here I come into town preaching the gospel. Oh, that guy's from California. He's a whack job. Yeah. I had a Hawaiian shirt on, you know, thinking, where's this guy coming from? False prophet, false teacher. And all I was doing was teaching the word of God. And all of a sudden people began to show up and lives began to change. Not because of me, but because of the truth of God's word. There are many pastors today that are doing weddings, same-sex weddings. That is not holy matrimony. That is not God's will. Genesis again. A man and a woman. One man, one woman in holy matrimony. The two shall become one flesh. Cemented together is the term in the original language. God buried Sodom and Gomorrah in ashes, it says. And it's under the area of the Dead Sea. You can't even find it any longer. Sad. Verse 7. And he delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. He was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. And so we see here very clearly, the same God who brings judgment on the unrighteous knows who are his. He rescues the righteous. Praise be to God. And looking at the Old Testament, the account of Lot, one might not think of him as a true believer, right? If you ever read the account, it seemed as though he was kind of lukewarm. But Peter, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, calls him righteous Lot. That's an encouragement to me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Sometimes we don't always feel that spiritual, do we? But God looks at us through the shed blood of his Son. Our righteousness that we are robed in is because of Jesus Christ. It's not our own works. And so writing in the inspiration of God, he calls him righteous Lot. And when I read about poor Lot, where it talks about him, you know, being tormented by the ungodly conduct, I can relate. I feel a lot like Lot at times in America today. Lot was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Does it bother you? With what we see, with what we hear, with what we see on the news, with what we read, does the filthy conduct in America bother you? It's getting worse and worse. It's not getting better. We're now legalizing things that God says no. God says, I made this city ashes because of that particular behavior and lifestyle. But Lot also protected God's angels. Remember when the angels knocked on his door? And he protected them from the city that wanted to take these two angels out and rape them. And Lot also obeyed God when God says, Lot, get out of the city. He obeyed God, but maybe not like he should have, but none of us bat a thousand. Verse 9. And the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust in punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. That's wonderful. That's a good, you know, with all we're seeing here, man, it's like, wow, man, we're getting hammered this morning. But you know what? I love the fact that we see right in the middle of all this that God delivers. He delivers the godly. God's going to deliver you and I one day. Praise God. And we're getting very, 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 very close. God reserves the unjust for the day of judgment. Sad. Our heart should be broken. I know we all have friends and relatives and loved ones and even enemies that are unsaved. We need to pray for them every day. Pray for their salvation. God reserves judgment for them. Those who walk according, it says, to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness. Those who despise authority. God's word is the ultimate authority. And look what we're doing with God's word in America today. They're trying to ban the Bible. There's another bill that's kind of sneaking underground that's trying to ban the Bible. They say this is hate literature. You know, there's over 30,000 precious promises to you and I in this book called Hate Literature. You know, the psalmist said that if the number of God's precious thoughts towards you could be numbered, they would be numbered more than the sand. But yet they call this hate literature, because it goes against perverted lifestyles and perverted behavior. But God lays these things out so that people can be set free, so they can enjoy a relationship with Him and have all that God wants to bless them with. And God knows how to deliver the godly. But again, it says they're self-willed, meaning they're arrogant, and they speak evil of dignitaries, anybody that would stand for the truth. They advocate rebellion. They're against authority. Have you ever seen such rebellion, again, in America, against authority today? He says, whereas angels who are greater in power and might don't bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Even the angels who are more powerful than men don't bring reviling accusations. The boldness and arrogance of these false teachers and false prophets who dare to do what holy angels shrink from doing, speaking evil of dignitaries. And again, of these false prophets and false teachers, Peter writes, look at verse 12, but these, like natural brute beasts, Peter doesn't mince words, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And so Peter refers to these false teachers, false prophets, as brute beasts, meaning like brute beasts, they're irrational, without the power of reasoning. How sad. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is spiritual discernment. That's a wonderful gift. But they didn't have any discernment, no reasoning. They were irrational. They lived only for the gratification of their own flesh, as if their bodily appetites are the essence for their existence. How sad. And we see it all the time. Those false prophets, false teachers getting caught up in extortion, sexual immorality. know what's really sad about that? People see these people on TV with their huge ministries. When they fall, they say, you know what? I don't need to go to church. I don't need that. Look at that guy. Because they think that's God's representative, but he's not. God's representatives are holy men filled with the Holy Spirit that stand on the Word of God, that don't waver. We need the truth today like never before, folks. Gratification of their own flesh. Peter says their ignorance is pretty evident when they criticize the Holy Bible. Yeah, there are people today that mock the Bible. They're devoid of divine knowledge and understanding. They're completely unable to comprehend the things of God. They can't comprehend the things of God. Because in order to grasp or to comprehend the things of God, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You remember before you got saved and born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, how you tried? Any of you tried to read the Bible? I did, and it made no sense. And I found out why. Because I didn't know the author. And an incredible thing happens when you repent of your sins and give your life to Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes in, all of a sudden it's a love letter to you. The day that I got saved, I went home and sat on the couch and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all in one sitting. I just couldn't get enough of it. I thought, wow. Because I tried to read it before. I was in Vietnam. They gave us all a New Testament. Good luck charm. Put it in your pocket, you know. And there were times, really bad times, when I tried to read it, and it made no sense. Why? Because I didn't know the author. I used to pray the Lord's Prayer in repetition. And he didn't hear my prayer. You know why? Because it begins with our Father in heaven, and he wasn't my Father. You know why? Because the Bible clearly says, he who has the Son has the Father. He who does not have the Son does not have the Father. God says it. That's not my own opinion. You need Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You need to be born again. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then all of a sudden you're going, wow, all of these years I wasted not spending time reading the words of eternal life. These guys were completely unable to understand the things of God. But yet they portray themselves as experts. And for some people, for some reason, people think when a man stands in the pulpit, he's got to be an expert. He's got to be authority, the authority. Oh, yeah. But Peter says they're brute beasts. They're going to die like brute beasts. They will utterly perish in their own corruption. And notice he says they're earning wages. Whoa. And they're going to be paid in full. Look at verse 13. And will receive the wages of unrighteousness. Oh, everybody's going to get some wages one day. As those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime, their spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. In amongst the flock. And that's what we're talking about. You need to know the difference between fur and fleece. Wolves and sheep. You see, even the shepherd should be a sheep himself. I think it's important that we realize and recognize that they've crept into the church. This is a warning. They're going to be paid in full one day. They're shameless. The word carousing talks about sporting sexually, seeking out ungodly pleasures in daylight hours. Used to be that they would do it in darkness, undercover. Now it's just, they do it in the light. They cast off all restraints. It says, while they're attending love feasts, agape feasts we call them, even the Lord's Supper, their spots and blemishes, they totally are oblivious to the spiritual significance. They would be getting drunk. They'd be hitting on the women. How sad. Look at verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. How sad. Meaning they're preying on the weaker Christians. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. Why? Because they're children of the devil. There's only two families on the planet, folks. Family of God and the family of Satan. And these false prophets and false teachers were supposedly preaching religious sermons, setting forth doctrine, even counseling members of the church, yet their eyes were constantly looking for women who they might have an adulterous affair with under the cloak of ministry. Put the robe on. They're accursed children, Peter says, meaning one day they will experience the curse of God in all of his fury. One day. I can't even imagine what that will be like, and I don't want to know. Verse 15. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam. Again, that's not another fairy tale. This is a true life story. The son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. I love that story. He says, Peter says, these hucksters resemble Balaam, the prophet Balaam. He was falsely posing as God's spokesman. He was in it for the bucks. He was using ministry to enrich himself financially. You know, ministry, you can become very, very wealthy, but it's not a place to get wealthy monetarily. It is a place to get wealthy spiritually. That's the bottom line. We need to be enriched by God's word. Balaam was hired by the king of Moab. You know the story. For money. To put a curse on Israel. He was going to put a curse on his own people for money, for bucks. And on his way to curse Israel, as we know, Numbers chapter 22, he was riding on his donkey, and an angel of the Lord that only the donkey could see had a flaming sword, and the donkey just panicked. And you know what the donkey did? Pushed himself against a wall and crushed Balaam's leg. And Balaam got off the donkey, and guess what he did? He began to beat this poor donkey, and the donkey was actually saving his life. Balaam began to beat the donkey. You know what happened then? The donkey spoke to him and rebuked him. God still uses donkeys today to speak to people. Yeah. Isn't it amazing how God works? True story. Not only to save Israel from the curse, but also to save Balaam from destroying himself. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. Crazy, huh? These are wells without water. Clouds carried by a tempest for whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. Israel knew what it was like to have wells without water, being out in the midst of the desert. How sad it is when people are thirsting physically and there's no water. The well is dry. The well is empty. You know what's even worse yet, folks? When people are thirsty for spiritual refreshment and the well is dry, because these false teachers and false prophets cannot give out the living water that will satisfy your thirst. Clouds without water. We see it at times in the desert. Today's going to be cloudy. I don't know where these clouds came from. But here we are in desperate need of rain, right? Clouds are going to come through, and they're going to be clouds without rain. Promise water to a dry and thirsty land, yet a tempest drives them away. For these wolves, these hucksters, these religious charlatans, it's eternity, it says right here by Peter, in the blackness of darkness forever. And again, I can't even imagine what that's like. Like I said, everybody gets eternal life. And when someone goes to hell and lives in eternal darkness in the lake of fire, there is no getting out, no way, Jose. No one can pay your way out. No one can pray your way out. There is no such thing as purgatory. It's a lie right out of the pit of hell. Because my Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 1 that Jesus Christ purged us from all of our sins. There's no balance due. But yet people will tell you, oh, you got to pay. How do you know if you paid enough? What if you come up one penny short? Praise be to God, Jesus Christ paid it in full. He said, it is finished on the cross. All of our sin is wiped out completely, and you and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, those of us who believe. Verse 18 and 19 again, notice. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who lived in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Great swelling words. You ever hear these polished preachers? I call it polished phraseology. empty words. Accomplished orators, holding audiences spellbound. You know, when I got saved, it was in Calvary Chapel, West Covina. Raul Reese had just gone into ministry. He spoke broken English, but he preached the word, and he wasn't a polished orator. I used to laugh at some of the things he would say, but he did the best he could to get the gospel out, and that's where I got saved, because I finally heard the words of eternal life that pierced my heart. And we don't have to be polished orators. We don't have to have all these degrees in theology. I didn't even graduate from high school, but I've got my BA, born again. That's the only degree that's necessary to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here we see these apostate preachers, man, alluring the people. They're not giving them the milk and the meat and the manna of God's word. These hungry souls of the people are not getting fed. They allure people. They tell them that the lust of the flesh, God made you that way. Have you ever heard that one? Oh, God made me this way. You were born that way. Just enjoy it. Don't try to restrain it. Don't listen to that pastor. The people who are looking to be freed from these things wander into a church led by these false shepherds, and instead of getting a Bible-based message, they're getting nothing but lies. And they're told, oh, it's okay to do these things. These apostate preachers talk a lot about freedom, he says here, but it's freedom from sin. And these guys aren't free. They're telling people how to be free, but they're not free themselves. How sad. They themselves are bound. They're slaves of corruption, powerless to break free. And you know what? They make others part of their chain gang. Hook them right up. Verse 20. For if they had escaped from the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled in them and overcome. The latter is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to a true proverb. How's this scripture verse for you before we all go out to breakfast? A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed to her own wallow in the mire. And what Peter is saying here, to whom much is given, much shall be required. And the more a person knows and hears from God, the greater responsibility we have. And Peter says it would have been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness than to know it and go back to the pig pen and go back to the vomit. Man. And again, the Bible doesn't mince words, does it? The dog going back to its own disgusting vomit. The pig wallowing in pig slop. People that underwent reform. Reform is not God's will for you. Repent is. If I had to go to a program for everything that I need to be delivered from, man, I'd spend my whole time just going through these classes to be reformed. God does not want you to be reformed. He wants you to be reborn. He is the only one that can take away your sin. I was told for years that as an alcoholic and a druggie, that I had a disease, a deficit, or a disorder. No, I didn't. It was sin. And I was going to hell from Rocky Mountain spring water, until I tasted of the living water of Jesus Christ. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus Christ set me free from that and a ton of other stuff. He wants to do the same for you. But if we're not getting the truth of God's word, folks, we'll never be set free. God loves you. He wants to break the chains. He wants to set you free. He wants to fill you with his love, his grace, his mercy. He wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to enjoy this relationship with him. But it can only happen one way, through his Son, Jesus Christ. Period. Reform. But they weren't reborn. They had never, through the truth of God's word, received a new nature. These were not the true believers who were lost. They were the never transform, make believers. I oftentimes jokingly say the church is filled with three types of people: believers, unbelievers, and make believers. And there's a lot of make believers out there, unfortunately. Our only repentance and our faith in Jesus Christ can save us. And God wants to draw you in. He wants to take you out of the pig pen. He wants to clean you up. How sad it is that there are many people today that don't know how to get out of the pig pen. Pig pen's for pigs, not sheep. Sheep are clean animals. And the Good Shepherd wants to make you clean today. If you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, we're going to close right here. The Good Shepherd wants to make you one of his sheep. You've heard the truth this morning. In love. I'm sharing the truth of God's word in love because I love you and I love Jesus Christ. And there's no greater gift to receive than a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, God's Son. And if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, guess what? Today can be that day. God wants to bless you. He wants to fill you with his love like you've never, ever experienced before, his grace and his mercy. He wants to forgive you for every single sin you've ever committed, past, present, and future. How can you reject so great a salvation? And so if you would like to receive Jesus, like I did and every other person here, you need to invite him into your heart. The Bible says very clearly, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord, and God the Father has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And one of the most wonderful things that can ever happen to a person is to make that public profession of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so if you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ this morning, I encourage you right now to please stand. I want to pray with you before we close. Anyone, today is the day of salvation. Do you know that you're saved? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the truth. I just so love the truth. Sometimes it stings a little bit. But so does iodine on a cut that kills the infection. And many times we need to hear the hard things in order to heal us. Because you love us so much, Lord. And yes, your word is filled with love and grace and mercy. We thank you for that. But at the same time, you want us to live godly lives, holy lives before you. And we need to exercise our free will by turning from the vomit and turning from the pig pen and turning to you, the Good Shepherd of our souls. So Lord, bless my brothers and sisters here this morning. Be with those that may be struggling, Father. Help them. Bless them. Restore them. Restore, as David said unto me, the joy of your salvation. Renew a right spirit within me. And I pray for each and every one of us here this morning, Lord, that we would draw near to you, that you would draw near to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the worship this morning. And now we thank you for the fellowship as we break bread together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand one more.